I think that's what I mean. I just kind of go for the safer picks in this, which is the complete opposite of how I play normal FPL.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. My name's James. You know that. So just pissed off on holidays. This left me holding the fort for the next 10 days or so. So we've got a very differential show for you today. We've obviously got no FPL to preview this game week. So I'm going to get someone on sort of show who I've been talking about quite a lot recently. You might have heard me mention his website in passing. You don't need to ask me about it anymore. You can ask the man himself. Let me introduce you to one of our advanced tier patrons and the founder of FPL.team, Peter Featherstone. How are you, Peter?
Doing well. You make it sound so serious when you say founder.
What are you then, mate?
Well, creator. I don't know if that's any better or not.
Creator, yeah. someone might buy it off you, mate. So being the founder, I think would work pretty nice, actually, mate. Oh,
yeah, I'm founder then. CEO.
Founder, CEO, yeah.
Important words.
Talk to me about this website, mate, and what it, for those who don't know, what it does and how you came about starting it up.
Well, essentially, it's a very, very simple concept. It's just the ability to see what your team is going to look like all the way to the end of the season. So even in game week one, you can see what your team is going to look like in game week 38, if you so choose. You can make transfers, you can make subs, you can move everything around. And it keeps track of like how many transfers you've made each week, how much it's costing you in terms of points hits, how much is in the bank, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, you can basically plan ahead. So you're not just kind of, because on the official website, you can only just see the current week.
Yeah.
Which isn't, I'm a very visual person. So for me, being able to see what my team's going to look like in 6 weeks is kind of important. Because when you make moves, you don't want to just say this guy's got a good game this week, let me get him in. But then he's got five horrible ones after. So yeah, that's what it's for. I built it because I'm glad you haven't got me on as a FPL expert or introduced me like that to her, because I'm useless.
No such thing as an FPL expert, mate. Yeah, it's fucking
bollocks. But you still see these people that are 5-10k, top 10k finishes. I don't think I've ever had one, and I've been playing since 2006, I think.
It's like when we went on Black Box, and Az straight away said, "Oh, Suj, you're not having the best of seasons, are you?" And me and Suj are like, "Whoa, whoa, this is Suj's best ever season. Shut the fuck up, mate."
Yeah, I'm just looking at my previous season now. My highest was a 14k. After that, it's 210k. So if I give any advice on this podcast today, throw it away and don't listen to it.
Well, I'm gonna get your opinions on what you want to do for the final weeks, and presumably you probably use your own website. I feel like it's so useful at the moment for those who are unsure what they're doing for game week 33, to just be able to jump forward a few weeks and see, right, okay, how many doublers have I got? What did I think the actual visual has really helped me recently, of looking at it ahead and going, right, yeah, okay, I'm thinking of free hitting in 33 and going treble Newcastle, treble Leicester, and you look at that team in front of you going, fuck me, Kane's got Brighton at home, Kulusevski's got Brighton at home, Cancelo's got Brighton at home, Salah and Trent have got Man United, Rüdiger's got a home game as well. I'm going, hang on, do I actually want to get rid of these people? It's extremely helpful for that.
Yeah, that's kind of the main thing, because obviously before that there's been like spreadsheets and transfer planners and stuff like that, and they are great and they obviously work for certain people, but just for me myself, just having the visual, seeing the actual team visually represented the same way that it is on the actual fantasy football website is just a massive thing for me. It's like my brain can kind of consume that, and I take like screenshots of it and save them in my phone and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of why I built it, because there are other transfer planners out there and they are great, but they just never had the same visual appeal. Like, I'm not a designer, so I basically just copied what fantasy football did.
So how long did it take you to build the site?
Oh, it's quite a hard question to answer, because it's been like progressively building on it. I guess I first had the idea like a year and a half ago, I guess, and then it took kind of a couple of months to get the whole very basic version of it running and up and uploaded onto the internet. And then I've just been like adding features since then, because at the beginning it was very simple. Now it's got all sorts of extra stuff. And there's lots of other planners coming out now, where it's kind of in vogue now, I guess. So they kind of keep me on my toes and make me improve the tool as well.
I feel like you've made loads of improvements recently.
Yeah, I have. That's what I mean. It was probably like 2 or 3 months to really get the initial thing working. But then it's like, I'll spend a week here adding X feature. Some features will. I think it was, FBI Raptor Ross. He messaged me yesterday saying, I've fucked up because on my wildcard videos, I've accidentally put 4 from the same team in my draft.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. I saw that as well, yeah.
So last night I was like, okay, mate, just give me a half hour. So just in half an hour, I just added some stuff in. So that it will alert you like it does on the main site to tell you you've had more than 3 from the same team in there. So it's just stuff like that. I just get messages all the time saying, can you add this? Can you add that? And some things are simple like that take half an hour. Some things like adding the ability to create draft, for example, took like a couple of weeks to build.
So patrons, you heard the man. Basically, what improvements do you want to FPL.team? Be a nuisance to PR. What's your Twitter handle, Peter?
It's @_FPLteam. It's really annoying. I have to have an underscore, but somebody's taken the...
Is that your handle on Slack as well?
Yeah, I think if you just type at... I don't know if it's Peter FPL team or FPL team. I don't know. You'll find me. I'm always chatting in there anyway. So yeah, you'll find me.
You are, to be fair. One of the things that the people may not know is obviously you're a Don, an original Wimbledon fan. Peter FPL.team on Slack. What's going on with the Dons? Because it's been a big year for you moving back into Plough Lane, but I got the impression speaking to you for 10 seconds before we started that you're not overly happy with what's going on.
I'm going to answer your question with a question. When do you think Wimbledon won a game? I'm talking cups, leagues, everything.
I'm going to guess that's a laced question, so the answer is probably like January.
December the 7th.
Jesus Christ, mate.
It's now March the 25th. We have not won a game in 21 games. I think it's the longest run in the EFL at the moment. Well, I mean, it must be. It's gone bad.
How's that happened?
I don't know. We had a relatively good start to the season. We were playing some decent-ish football, and we were winning some good games. And then we just started not winning. I don't really know where to put my finger on it. We've got a very young squad. I think we've got the youngest squad in the league. We've got the lowest budget in the league. So we were never really going to compete. I just feel maybe it's a bit of an experience from the young players or what. I don't know. It's very hard to put your finger on it because they were playing so well, and now they're not.
Looking through your results, goal scoring seems to be a problem.
Yeah, it's been awful. We always seem to get half-decent strikers and then they get sold, like Joe Piggott last year. We had Lyle Taylor, who used to be good. Akinfenwa was always the beast up front. We don't score enough goals. Our wingers, we've got quite like a... We used to play like big man and then a couple of slight wingers and they just get bullied in quite a lot of games, I think.
But so yeah, if this doesn't change, you're gonna fall, aren't you? 21st now, 33 points from 38 played. You do have a game in hand on Lewis Browning, is one of our patrons' team, Gillingham, who are 20th, 34 points from 39 played. Fleetwood are one higher, slightly better goal difference than Gillingham, same points, one game less played. Then there's a big gap up to Lincoln in 18th for Utrell currently by 9 points. So presume you're looking at 4 going down from the 6. Crew look like they're adrift, and then it's going to be 3 from Doncaster, Morecambe, yourselves, Gillingham and Fleetwood, I guess.
Yeah, it's a worry, let's just say. The crazy thing is that even after that run, the fact that we're only 1 point off safety is insane. We should be like 10, 12 points adrift by now. But the good thing is all the teams around us are equally bad, and we had a semi-good start to the season that's kind of propped us up a bit. So there's still hope. I'm just trying to look at what fixtures we got left, but yeah, there's still hope because we're not cut adrift yet, but it's the form we're in is just awful. We need a win. Like we go ahead and we know we're going to lose. I think we conceded 3 in the last 10 minutes in the last match. It's not good. Not in a good situation. And it's like really bad for my household. My wife is Colombian as well, and the Colombian national team and their World Cup qualifiers hadn't scored a goal in their last 7 games. Being a football fan in my house at the moment, it's not a good place to be. I mean, they finally won yesterday. Luis Diaz was phenomenal. He was on fire. Scored a nice goal.
He's a top player, isn't he? What club team does she support?
She's not really into her football. But it's a team called Once Caldas, which is from her small town in Colombia.
Every day's a school day. I know you talked about upcoming fixtures. I mean, it doesn't look like a good run, in all honesty. You've got the enemy on 9th of April. He often gets spoken about. We're obviously talking about the team from Milton Keynes. He gets spoken about a lot in the media. How big is the rivalry?
It's funny. I feel like it's more of a rivalry for us than them, if that makes sense. I feel like they probably don't care. Maybe they, but they're not a real club, so it's probably understandable. So I was going to say sorry to all. There's none out there, so there's
no
one to say.
No,
sorry.
No, no. I've never met a Milton Keynes fan ever in my life.
Nor have I. It's weird though. I love football, but I've never been one of these people that's into all the rivalries and all the, oh, I hate this club and I hate that club. Like, I just see it as a fun bit of banter, to be honest. I mean, what happened to Wimbledon was obviously awful, but it's not an NK's fan's fault, I guess, if they're growing up now. But yeah, it's one of them things.
Are you old enough to remember 2000 and 2001 and what followed in the years afterwards? When did the club change name? I want to say it was 2004-ish.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact year, but yeah, I remember it very well. I used to go to Sellers Park then. I wasn't old enough to go to Plough Lane. I think, I used to go with my dad. I don't think I ever went to Plough Lane. Maybe one game when I was so young, I can't remember. Like with the cup final, we beat Liverpool. I think I was only 3.
Okay,
I don't remember any of that. But yeah, I used to go to Sellers Park all the time. We used to, Wimbledon was always a nice community club. So like my local youth club, we had Neil Sullivan come down, Warren Barton, players like that used to just come down and give us tickets and stuff. And we'd always sit behind the goal and give him a wave. It's just nice. I remember it really well. It was a real shame when it disappeared.
Did you go and follow the Phoenix club straight away?
No, this is where I feel kind of bad. I just kind of got a bit disillusioned with it then. I was like, well, what's the point? And then I'm going to admit, I turned into a bit of a glory hunter. And I was like, I'm just going to go and support good. Because supporting Wimbledon, you never supported it for the football because it was never very good.
I used to hate playing the original Wimbledon, mate, honestly.
It's not much better now, but yeah, like, you don't support Wimbledon for the football. It's not fun to watch. But I think you're going to hate the next part. At the time, I think Arsenal were playing like the best football in the country. They were unbelievable. And I remember like supporting them for a month. And then I thought, what am I doing? I can't support Arsenal. I've got no ties to them.
All of my senses. Well done.
Yeah, basically. All of my family sort of supported Chelsea. So I kind of followed them for maybe a year or two. And then again, I thought, you know, you're watching a game, you just feel my heart's not in this. Why? What am I doing? So then it was kind of then that I started supporting Wimbledon again. I think they were just coming into the league before League Two. I think I started following them again. I went to the playoff final when we got promoted.
Is it Plymouth you beat, I want to say?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, Lyle Taylor and Akin Fenwa scored in that game. I think it's 2-0. Yeah, and I remember that's when I kind of really felt the connection and the buzz again. It's been a long, long journey. It felt like I basically had 10 years without a team, essentially, which is weird.
It helps that the football club is now back in Wimbledon finally as well. Going back to you saying you're not sure if you went to Plough Lane, therefore you'd never seen Wimbledon playing Wimbledon until this season.
Yeah, that would be true. Yeah, it's crazy. The stadium's nice. It's nice to be back. Like I said, Wimbledon's always been a very community-driven club. I guess most small clubs like that tend to be. But yeah, to be actually back in Wimbledon is beautiful.
Well, fingers crossed for you, mate. I hope you stay up. No offence to Lewis. I know he'd be listening as well. I hope you both stay up. I don't think we've got any Morecambe patrons, I want to say, or Fleetwood Town patrons, but do at me if we do. Let's talk a little bit about FPL, Peter, because I'm really interested to speak to you about your current team. Purely because for the guys who listen to us regularly, me and Sujo are in a blessed position in the sense that we've got choices with what we've got left with chips.
Yep.
Peter doesn't. You're out. You've used them all.
Bumped my load, yep.
I'm looking at your team.
Yep.
No Salah, no Man City, no
nope.
Chelsea.
Nope.
You've actually just had, a really good game week 30 in terms of you've planned quite well to get through this. You finished on 68 minus 4, despite not using the free hit chip, which is great for the last game week.
Yep.
But what do you do now?
This is the problem. The two things you just mentioned are my biggest fear at the moment is no Man City and no Chelsea. But strangely, they're not my priority at the moment, which might sound strange.
What is?
Leicester.
Okay. You've already got two of them.
Well, bloody Castagna's come back into the team the week that I really didn't want him to. I bought Thomas this week and then Castagna rocked up. I didn't think he'd go straight in the team, to be honest. But
no, I agree with that, actually. And Thomas, to be fair, you're dead unlucky there, mate, because he started every game since the defeat to Chelsea in game week 12. Every game.
Yeah, 90, 90, 90, 90, 59, 90, 90. I was like, yeah, this guy. They're not going to bring Castagna straight in, but...
That's what they did.
Scored a belter of a goal as well, just to top it off. Yeah, so I've got 1.5 Leicester.
Harvey Barnes being the other one.
Yeah. The thing is, I've basically got to kind of pick my battles. So, for example, this week, Burnley and Everton have a double. I don't particularly want any Burnley or Everton.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start taking hits to get them. But you said I've got no Salah. My transfer is Jacob Ramsey up to Salah this week. That was my planned transfer.
That's because you've got about 8.9 million in the bank, I want to say.
Yeah, because I did a sort of hokey-cokey. So I did Barnes to Salah last week, but I knew it would leave me money to get Ramsey up to Salah.
Yeah.
And start playing a five in midfield. So he's my transfer this week. So then if I was to get anyone like Burnley or Everton, I'm looking at minus eights, because to get to a Weghorst, I'm going to have to, I've got Hwang and Broger as my other strikers.
Yeah.
So to get money for them, I have to sell somebody else. So now I'm looking at a minus eight after the Salah transfer. And it's just not worth it. And it doesn't really... I know Burnley have got a lot of games, but Burnley are rubbish and the games are so-so. I don't see him scoring that many.
Yeah, I mean, particularly this first one where the first game's Man City.
You're
buying basically for the Everton fixture, aren't you? But it's worth saying, look, it's Norwich afterwards. Then there's a double. I think it could be another double immediately after that as well.
Yeah, I just think... Like I said, I have to pick my battles, and my battles are not Burnley and Everton players. It's got to be players who have got potential doubles, but play for good teams and are good players, I think.
Yep.
So that's where all my attention is going, which is Leicester, I think. I think Leicester, attacking-wise, are pretty decent. And actually, with Castagna back and Johnny Evans back and James Justin back up to speed, I think Leicester defensively could be okay moving forward. The risk for them is obviously rotation, because they've got so many European games to play and all sorts of stuff. But then that's the same risk with Chelsea and Man City. There's nothing to say, you know, who am I going to get for Chelsea? Reece James could get rotated. Rudiger's the one that's probably going to play every game. And then
Man City, I would say. I think they're all, even Mendy, I wouldn't say, is an absolute lock for these final games.
But then I look at my team and I think, right, well, I've got triple Arsenal. Sorry, James. But they've got decent enough fixtures and a couple of doubles to come.
Yep.
I've got triple Liverpool. Well, I will do when I get Salah.
Yep.
They've got one double left, I think, but they're also Liverpool. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's enough in itself.
I don't want to start dropping. This is what I mean. I have to pick my battles. I don't want to start dropping good players just for the sake of doubles. I've made that mistake so many times. And then the Spurs boys, I mean, they've got good fixtures. Newcastle, Villa, Brighton, Brentford, Leicester. That's five good games in a row. I've got triple.
You've got the triple Spurs attack.
Yeah. So, I mean, my thoughts is maybe to drop a Son potentially for a... Basically, if I wanted to go anywhere, I'd want to get Cancelo. The ones I'm scared of are Cancelo and... Well, that's probably it, because I'm thinking then, if I got a Man City midfielder, who do I get? De Bruyne's too expensive. Foden would probably be the other one, but he's possibly going to come in and out of the team around Champions League games and stuff, and the FA Cup games. So I feel like I'm weirdly in a semi-decent place, because the good thing is with the Arsenal boys and the Spurs boys is they have nothing else to play for except the Premier League.
Yeah, and the ones you've got, Kulusevski, Son, Kane, Ramsdale, Tierney, Saka, unless there's injuries, they're starting every game as it stands. Exactly.
So I've got six nailed on players who are playing for teams where their sole focus is the Premier League. And we've seen it so many times that single players...
You know what you're about to end up with here, don't you? Treble Arsenal, treble Tottenham, treble Liverpool, double Leicester. That's your team.
I think that's literally where I'm going. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think... But that's the thing. Then it means I'm ignoring City and Chelsea. But there's nothing to say that Tierney can't outscore Kansas. That sounds silly when I say that out loud. But, you know, it's possible. Arsenal are a good defence. Tierney just needs to get forward a bit more again. But yeah, I mean,
I've got Kieran Tierney. I mean, he's absolutely fine. I wouldn't be looking to move that on. And you've got the insurance of Ramsdale as well, which means you're always winning with an Arsenal clean sheet. Most have only got one.
It's just when I look at your spreadsheet, your predicted games, and I see City have Watford, Leeds, Newcastle, West Ham as a double, and then Wolves, Villa, and that just scares the life out of me, I think.
Yeah, it would. I think it will do.
I'm not bothered about Chelsea. Like, Arsenal, West Ham doesn't sound great. Then Everton's obviously easy. And then Wolves tend to be solid. But it's the double-double that I'd want to be a part of.
Yeah. So 33, what are you thinking? Just going with doublers of Leicester, Arsenal, and then Tottenham, Liverpool, singlers? That looks like the plan, basically.
Yeah, I've actually got my team up now on my planner. Yeah, I'm going to have Madison and Barnes in midfield. So I think I'm going to sell Kulusevski for Madison in 33.
Okay.
Which I don't like, but I think Newcastle Everton is too good to turn down.
I think
down
it's reasonable. The other good thing with buying Leicester at the time is obviously you'll know if they're going through in Europe. You'll know if Madison's played in Europe and perhaps the league game before that. And if you decide to bottle it, you can bottle it, right? Rather than say buying him now and you don't know where you stand in 2 weeks. I think that's the best thing to do with the Leicester assets is to leave that a bit longer if you can.
Yeah, so the plan is to leave that to 33, and that gives me, triple Arsenal. It would give me, I've got triple Leicester, but as I said, Thomas would currently be on my bench that week, and I'll be playing Son. I think that probably that's what I mean about a single game week player. Son at home to Brighton probably outscores Thomas, to be honest. Then Kane and Broja up front. Broja's obviously got a double as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's where I look for 33, and I quite like that as a team.
Brea's fixture's not too bad, actually. Obviously, he's ineligible in 32, but it's Leeds now, then double, then Brighton, then Palace, then Brentford. 37 is probably single against Liverpool. You can probably bench it. And then Leicester away, final game. But by that point, by 37, you can always shove it to someone else if you want to. I feel like probably the best way for you to go, Peter, is to concentrate on getting the kind of best mid-price option players from the best clubs. The Cancelos, the James/Rudigers. Your Trench, your Robertsons, or Diaz or Jota, if you prefer, and the likes of Kulusevski, Saka, the Arsenal defence, and stomach the doubles and shit around it and almost ignore it.
Yeah, that's kind of my blood. I'm just pretending Burnley and Everton don't have a double this week because I get massive FOMO in this game, which is why I do so bad, and I would like take a minus 24 to get triple Burnley and Everton just because we've got doubles was normally what I would do. So I'm trying to play a bit more sensible at this point. And having the planner helps because then I can see that, you know, these players have got good fixtures for the double and then after. But I think I'm just going to kill completely my two other strikers that aren't Harry Kane because strikers are absolutely useless at the moment.
Well, you haven't got to worry about setting for a bench boost or anything.
This is what I love. That's what I love about not having a bench boost is I can.
You kind of are killed already with Huang and Breuer. Like, is it worth making a transfer from Huang to Gelhardt to give yourself an extra million or something?
Yeah, that's my plan to get Madison for Kulusevski in 33 is Huang to Gelhardt. And then because Broha's got Leeds this week, so I'm not going to drop him for that.
Yeah.
So then I'm going to do Broha to like Locadia or something. And then I can get Foden and Cancelo for Son and Eight Nori, for example. Sorry, Brad. Selling Eight Nori. I know he'd hate that.
I think he's probably fine with it. I mean, to be fair, Wolves are ones where it's beginning to look binnable. Next two are okay. Yeah, yeah. Villa, Newcastle. And actually, look, 34, 35. We've got Burnley, Brighton, but it's obviously blank 33. Then a rough running with a likely to have probably Norwich, Man City and Liverpool in three of their last four fixtures. So they can go. But then they're also, Peter, the cheap Nate, Nori and Huang, just bench it, right?
Yeah, I know.
They don't have to go.
Yeah, but if I want to get a Cancelo, I need money from somewhere. I just feel like there's no strikers I want apart from Harry Kane. So why have a Huang when I can have a Gelhardt? And that means I get a Cancelo instead of a Eight Nori, for example.
Yeah, you might want to consider some kind of I know you're saying you don't really want to take the hit, but actually taking a few hits now to get yourself back in shape away from the game week 30 players like Ramsey, Eight Nori and Huang might fit you in a better position for what's to come, even if you dip a little bit more this game week. What's the rank at the moment, Peter?
275k or something like that.
It's fine, mate.
It's one of my best seasons, that. I shouldn't go in black box for that, though.
Sidge won't get an invite back. It'd be just me on my own next time. Rank dependent, obviously.
Yeah.
I can't be having a 275K's all right, mate. Like, I finished, what, 350K last year or something?
Yeah, it's just you get top 10K shoved down your throat on Twitter every day.
Ignore fucking Twitter, mate.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's like, I think top 10K now is beginning to become like what? Probably like top 1K going back a few years. I think top 50K now, I think, is a brilliant rank. Whereas 5-6 years ago, it would have been top 10K is a really brilliant rank. It's getting harder. And I think in another 5-10 years, it will be struggles to get in top 100K. It's not easy. I mean, I've only done it once, finishing the top 100K once. That's it.
Yeah, same. I think like you say, like the more years go by, there's more players. Plus there's more content online that anybody can consume at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So it ends up that everybody not ends up with the same teams, but the same ideas. And then if those ideas do well, you're just suddenly so far behind. Because I try and go different or like to be different. But yeah, when it backfires, it goes really bad.
It's getting more and more difficult to go against template because of the consumption of so much. I mean, you have to look at the numbers on, say, Andy's videos or Black Box videos. I mean, probably Andy's main video and Black Box main video every week, it's probably, I don't know, 80 to 100,000 viewers or so, different viewers who haven't watched both or so. And they're getting fed that content from top FPL players, and they're going to have exactly what you said, similar thinking. And you got all the pods, the other videos. Yeah. You got Ross with his 4 Man United players or whatever he had in his team. And there's some super content creators out. It's like diversifying is so much more difficult. But then obviously it's risk and reward, isn't it? If it goes well, you shoot above everyone. If it goes badly, you die. It tends to go down the die version for me.
Yeah, same. That's the problem. Like, it feels like you're fighting 10,000 Andes now because everybody, like, so many people are there just copying his team.
I was just going to say, there's 10,000 teams copying Andy's team. Yeah. So if you're below Andy, you'd be below 10,000 other people as well. there's nothing he can do about that. I mean, he even leaves his transfers quite late purposely to try and stop all that nonsense, basically.
But
people will copy. It's funny. Anyway, I don't know why anybody would want to do that.
No, I don't.
There can't be any enjoyment in the game, but there you go. It is what it is. Before we let you go, Pete, I want to talk about this differential team of yours because you're kidding it. And you tend to get a mention every week on the differential show because it's like, oh, we've got to within 80 points of Peter. Oh, no, actually, no, tell a lie. With like 100 points behind Peter again now. So we are, me and Suja, our differential team is 103 points behind yourself. You have a lead of 51 points above Amrabat Joe, who told me he'll be watching Morocco during this afternoon's 3 o'clock Zoom call, but we'll try and join in as well. Your overall rank of this, Peter, 683K.
Yep.
It's fucking good, mate.
It's not bad, considering I can't have, or haven't, I think all season, been able to have the top three players in the game in Salah, Trent, and who's the other one?
Probably Cancelo.
I had Cancelo at the beginning of the game.
Did you?
Oh, it's Son. That's it. Heung-min Son. Yeah. So I haven't been able to have Son, Salah, or Trent yet. It's in the top 650K. It's not bad.
So what's the secret here?
Well, I think the secret is playing it in the way that I should play normal FPL, if that makes sense. Like, in normal FPL, when the deadline hits and I look at my team, I have an initial thought that seems good or sensible, or I've planned it ahead of time. And then as the week goes on, I listen to more and more things and I start getting swayed and my mind starts changing because I've read this thread where, I don't know, Bremo is about to score 6 goals because his XG is 24 in the last 2 games. And then I start...
That's just woodwork XG, mate.
Yeah, expected post XP or something.
XP, yeah, I like that.
And then I just I start changing my mind. And then suddenly the end of the week comes and I'm on a -8 and I've completely changed my plan. Whereas the differentials, I kind of look at it. I think that's what I'm going to do, and I just do it.
And you just do it. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, similar.
I've had like 16 different captains this season in that, which has been fun. I didn't take a hit for the first 18 weeks, whereas I look at my normal team and I took like, God knows, like probably 50 points worth of hits in that. There's no FOMO to suffer from because there's no Salahs and stuff. It's just, there's no EO rubbish that you have to worry about. It's just a nice way of playing the game, I think.
Hey, I mean, your season for the differential team includes a game week 21 rank of 74 with triple captain Jared Bowen.
Did you get like top 10 that week?
Yeah, we were 10th, I think. I think I'm going to say Donna Boyle maybe had the best of the lot. But there were about five of us in the differential league. We're in like the top 100 global game week rank with our differential teams in that week because I think we'd all triple captain Jared Bowen. You've got some good ranks here, mate. 59k game week rank, game week 29, 74k game week rank, game week 25. I mean, to finish in the top million, even more so this season when you've had someone like Salah who is so heavily captained every week and delivering nearly every week. And as you said, you can't have a perma differential captain because by the time they become perma, you're moving on to someone else, aren't you? Because of their ownership levels under the format, the game where you've got to sell at 20% or above. So you have to make captaincy decisions on the fly and stuff. And it doesn't seem to be doing you any harm, mate.
No, I guess that if it's a differential team, I guess there's probably going to be a lot of weeks where you do really well because if your team does well and it's all differentials, it probably means the main bulk of teams haven't done well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess there's probably going to be a lot of swings because I look through here and there's also a lot of 5 millions and 6 millions as well. So it's kind of one or the other because if the big boys are doing well, like Salah, then my differential team is going to do very bad. If he blanks and I've captained someone who's owned by 2% and they go off, suddenly I'm going to get a massive rank.
So, I see you've used all your chips in this as well. Yeah. Just used the last one. That's fair enough. But oddly, this almost feels a little bit better set up than your main team in the sense that, obviously, we know you can't have the big premium players, but you've got treble City core, you've got treble Tottenham, although you and us are all going to have to sell Harry Kane. You've got double Liverpool defensive. You've got double Arsenal offensive. You've got decent cover. You've got Che Adams up front. It's fine with a double to come shortly. This actually feels not too badly set.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like the City boys, I had De Bruyne for a while. I think it was a couple of weeks ago and it was like, I was trying to look for some transfers and I didn't know what to do. And I was just like, well, who are the best ones that I can get? And I was like, Laporte and Stones, they're going to keep a load of clean sheets. Just get them in. And that's
right
what
the
I mean.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, while DS is out, obviously, I just thought they're pretty much nailed on. Get them in. They got some good fixtures. And that's what I mean about the difference in thinking. It was just like, well, who's the best player? Or who's got the best fixture? Or who's the best team? Just get them guys. And that's it. That's kind of the level of thinking. It's not, I just not overthought it like I do in my main team. But yeah, it is set up really well. I've even got Marcus Alonso there for some reason. So I've got a Chelsea boy. Maybe he'll play.
He might do at some point. I mean, me and Suj, we're 1.4 million at the moment. Our target would generally be top million. I feel like we were about 3 million with it last year. So we're eighth in the differential league. We're not doing too bad. I feel like one of the common mistakes that we're learning from is we look at the team on sometimes on Fridays and we go, got no Man City. Mm. And you end up going for like Morris's or Foden because they're differentials. When really you're probably better off going with a longer term hit, like a Wilfried Zaha, for example, someone who's going to be available, play every week, a James Ward-Prowse even. That punt on, say, the Man City player never seems to work out for us. Yeah. When you have that sort of decision, like I know you've just gone Laporte and Stones, but they're kind of locked at the moment because of Diaz's injury. And also you don't have the risk of the one-pointer as much as, say, Nathan Aki plays. When you have that decision in midfield, do you tend to punt in for the City player or will you go for the more locked choice, for example, a Zaha, for example?
You can see I've got De Bruyne, so I've kind of gone for I'd consider him the most locked in one.
Yeah.
I think that's what I mean. I just kind of go for the safer picks in this, which is the complete opposite of how I play normal FPL. In my normal game, I would get Mahrez and Foden and somebody else. I just like get the all three just in case. Whereas in this, I do just kind of go for the locked in players. Like I said, Laporte and Stones, I would never do that in my normal team because I hate centre backs. I'm such a fullback, wingback fiend. Like I love my fullbacks, wingbacks. I'd never go for centre backs. Absolutely hate it. But in this, I'm just like, well, City are going to keep loads of clean sheets. That's 12 points every week. Thank you very much. And that's it.
It's interesting, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's psychological.
Yeah, it is. It's...
Do you think that's the same in the sense, like you're saying, sometimes you get influenced because perhaps a bit too deep into reading content in the build up to a game week, whereas a differential team, you just go, oh, yeah. I need 5 minutes on this. So you go with your gut and you go exactly what you just said. I'll take 12 points, you know, every other week, worst case scenario from these two at the back.
Yeah, that's it. And I just think, well, yeah, 12 points every week locked in. I mean, that's all you can ask for. Like, and look, I mean, Laporte and Stones have actually got quite a good goal threat, to be honest, as well. So they're quite exciting for centre backs. But yeah, I just make simple, basic decisions, which sounds boring, but I think it gives me some learnings for my main FPL team to not be so FOMO led.
But then isn't, if you went with a Laporte or Stones in your main team, isn't that also a little bit FOMO led in the sense that you're going, oh, I'll take the 6 points every week because I'm not sure if Reece James is going to play, for example. Wouldn't that be the same thing?
Yeah, but I would never go for them in my main. I would get Reece James even if he had one leg in my main team. Over a centre back like Laporte.
I think particularly Laporte and Rudiger are very decent FPL picks this season.
I just can't own them because they're centre backs. It's just a weird... And I know Rudiger loves to like run down the wing and think he's Leo Messi occasionally and shoot from 40 yards, but I can't get excited by them and therefore I can't put them in my team. But with the differentials, I can.
Sometimes I've gone the other way. I think Trent and Robertson have really helped me over the last few years to make me go, no, you need to look at the upside of, you know, that Reece James, the return at Burnley a few weeks ago, to go, no, this is why you want to go these guys. Yeah. Even if they miss one, that 18 pointer or so is phenomenal. Admittedly, I bought Reece James. I think he got me 1 point about six game weeks or so earlier in the season. Not quite so bad, 4 points or something ridiculous. After we'd had, about 60 points in three game weeks or so. That seems to be the way it's worked for me with him. But yeah, I think to go back to point, like when I wildcarded at the end of the team period, I went Reece James then rather than Rudiger. And really interestingly, Peter, I regretted that.
Really?
Yeah, massively. Oh,
I wouldn't be able to sleep if I got Rudiger.
No, but I had the value in Rudiger as well. So I'd had him at 5.5. It was basically sit there and keep him and leave him. But I chased the upside of Reece James and then he was out again and I ended up going back to Rudiger anyway.
I think it's just like when I watch games, I want some excitement. And when if you watch like a Chelsea game and you've got Reece James, you see him, you see him like bombing forward every 2 minutes and you get excited off the edge of your seat. When you've got a centre back in a game, you're just like sitting there just kind of waiting for them to concede or hoping for a corner or something. It's just, yeah, that's what I mean. I think my heart overrules my head a bit.
I think this is, it might help me a little bit that I watch most Chelsea games and I want them to concede.
Yeah,
possibly helps me. I'm like, yeah, I'll have treble Arsenal defensive because I don't care if they're scored against and I'll take the 18 points if they don't concede. Maybe there's that influence for me that I don't watch the games and need the... Because of the podcast now as well, I don't watch the games and think so much about my FPL team. I think more about everybody else's FPL team when I'm watching games, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one reason why I'm probably doing better in differentials as well, is because, I mean, I know it's a lower rank, but if you added Salah captaincy in every week, it'd probably be above my main team.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Is the fact that the game for me doesn't really suit my personality and that I've got quite a, like, I need like now. And the fact that you wait a whole week to make one decision just kind of bores me, which is why I think I end up with like minus eights and minus 24s by the end of the week, because I've been sitting on my phone tinkering and going, oh, I'll get him, and then I'm on a minus 24. Like, I think it just doesn't suit my personality very well, whereas the difference was
done, maybe you shouldn't have made this website where you could look ahead to future game weeks and make so much planning, mate.
Well, I built it to try and help me to not do that, so I wouldn't bring that because I had Norwich at home every week. But yeah, it's helped a bit, but not much. I just build tools for the good managers.
That rules most of us patrons out there. Jokes, guys. Peter, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate that. Let everybody know again where they can follow you on the various places and the website.
Well, I'm only on Twitter because I'm not very into social media, but _FPL team, and then the website is fpl.team. Very simple.
And the website's also in your bio as well. When people go in, for those who haven't used it, they don't need to do anything more other than put their team ID in, right?
Yeah, and there's a little link on there that links to a page where it shows you how you can get that ID, because not everybody knows.
Just go in, go to where your points are on the website of FPL and look in the URL.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what URL stands for, actually. Neither do you. We both sound stupid now.
Locator.
I don't know, mate. You're the guy who built a website. I thought you might know.
Something I should know. Oh, uniform resource locator. There you
uniform
go.
Resource locator. God, that sounds really shit. Who came up with that idea? At least WWW makes sense. Right, Peter, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate that. For those who listen to Tottenham, Patreon podcast next week are now becoming an audiobook, which is me going through a diary I kept of Tottenham's 2016-17 season, the final season at White Hart Lane. I'm going to release that as 10 different episodes, two a day next Monday to Friday. I will do a small individual episode for the differential show next week as well. I'll get Suj to message me some correct score predictions, and I'll do a short 20-minute show or so for you next week. Main pod next week, Tom Campbell is going to be on instead of Suj. We've got COTC, Burnley, Everton, Brighton, Norwich, Tuesday, Thursday. Ian Parrin's joining me for the Sky Pod Wednesday. I'll have Ask James today, Ask James next Friday. And for the advanced tier patrons, there is a Zoom call at 3 o'clock today, UK time. Have a jump on. Let's have a chat if you're available. Other than that, thanks again so much to Peter. Cue music, please, man child. Messi,